unfortunately, I'm just gonna be sitting back here reading a book while you have a meeting, because I have to monitor the recording equipment. We have a lot of crashes. Unfortunately, still.
Can you just remind me, I don't have to tick the note and okay thing until I finish writing, but it's only if I go back to it, I tick okay again.
It's only when you change pages, before you move to another page.
Yeah.
So if you're back to a page, then you tick it again to leave it for the second time.
Right, whenever, it's like the pen creates these little files for each page number, and so after it has, you know, seen what you've written, you tick the okay to tell it which file to put that.
So, if I've done a page, I'm on the second page, I tick it to say I've finished that page, and I go back to it, so I can just write and then not tick until I finish writing again.
Right.
Yeah, so it's always after, you never have to do it before. Fine.
Because each okay box is unique. So when you tick the okay box, it tells the pen, this is page 39, this is page
45. I can't believe all this stuff is just
And you can go on both sides as well. Okay.
Yeah, right. Where should we start?
Well, I think the first thing is...
What have we got?
Well, the first thing I think is we need to sort out the call for abstracts or the call for titles, because I think that's kind of overdue.
Right.
Yeah? So, I volunteered to do that, if you like. Okay, so, and I'll do that by, I think, what is it, Thursday today? I'll do that by the end of the week, anyway.
So. And was it your idea to stick the bit in it where you say, we're inviting quite a wide audience and we'll get priority to think with?
Yeah, we're going to do that, but I think we should probably send out separate calls. Okay, so we'll send one that won't. I mean, we could mention the fact that we're inviting other people, but I think it will probably just. I mean, it probably won't matter too much to the other linguists that we're having other people there. We can mention it, but it's not going to be too essential, and we might actually just end up making them worry that, you know, they're going to lose their place or whatever, because I don't know.
Separate calls is a good idea.
But we do have to decide a priority thing, so that's something else we can look at a little bit later down the line. So that's the one for Ling, basically, and I'll send that out. I'll do that today or tomorrow. Now, Claire, that's the other thing. She can deal with the psychology people, probably. I reckon that's the best thing to do, because she'll know which email address to use and everything else. So, if one of us could email Claire.
Yeah. Was that a volunteering?
Okay, yeah, so if Robert...
Yeah, when in doubt.
So, if Robert emails Claire, and we're going to need to decide exactly what she's going to say on there. We might need to just remind her of the dates, in case she doesn't know.
Yeah.
So she gets the dates right. I know she already knows that it's just anyone doing psycholinguistics, basically. So that's fine.
It might actually kind of take care of itself as well. If she just sends one around to everyone, then only the psycholinguist will say, what's for me?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. but then there's the rest of PPLS, and I think we need to decide whether...
The text for the actual call, is she going to rework something or...
I think she should just write her own. Probably.
I think she might be glad to see kind of their one for linguistics.
Okay, so what we'll do, the thing is that the main call will go out before she's got round to it anyway. So what I'll do is I'll copy it, I'll CC her on the
Because I can't imagine there being a central difference really between them.
No, there won't be. The only thing I'm thinking is I want to make sure that it stands out as something applicable to them, that they don't go, oh, we're just getting rubbish from,
right,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want them to really know that it's addressed to them. And the good thing about Claire sending it is she's probably got a psych email address as well, and it might look a bit more relevant to them.
They know her.
Yeah, exactly. They know her, etc. So if I've CC'd the original one, then you can tell her that that can be the basis for her email, but just make sure that they know it's relevant to them, etc. I guess. And obviously in PPLS we've also got English language. Now in a way we could send out that first call to them just as part of the same email, because I think they're more likely to think it was relevant to them. I don't really know. I don't really know what you think about that. But I think we definitely should open it up to English language. I think particularly at the moment, because they're really trying to sort of merge us into one subject area, even though it should be meaningless, because we're all part of the school. I think that it does actually make a difference. And so I think we should invite them. But then we've still got the problem of a priority issue. So, you know, probably what I was thinking is certainly second and third years absolutely need to be top priority. But then there's a kind of awkward question of where we put first years, because they don't need to, but if they want to, should they have priority? This is a kind of lower point, but it crosses over with deciding what we're going to do when we...
Do we have an idea of how many people actually have the whole thing? It seems to me to be quite obvious that we're just doing track the number of students and then everything else is just... I would favour doing it just on a first-come, first-served basis.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's send out the call as soon as possible, see what reactions we get, and then...
Okay.
But, I mean, we're going to do this thing for, I can't even remember, was it 2 or 3 days?
It's 3 days.
Okay, and so how many posters and talks
Right, they were 20-minute talks with 10-minute question time, okay? Mm-hmm. And you can run two in a row, but probably not up to three. What do you think? Two in a row or three in a row?
You do two in a row, and that's an hour, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then give it a 20-minute break, perhaps.
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing is, every time we have a break, there's a question of whether we actually serve coffee and biscuits and things, because that's the kind of normal thing to do.
If we go for, say, slots of 1.5 hour each, so three lunches each, that will be three per day times three will be 27.
So are you saying have, say, three sessions in a row,
mm-hmm.
and then do that twice in the morning and twice in the afternoon? So that would be
twice
6 hours.
Morning, twice in the afternoon.
Oh, so just have 1.5 hours in the morning?
Yeah. I mean, or twice in the morning, once in the afternoon.
I mean, would 6 hours a day be pushing it? Not necessarily, because, I mean, the good thing is...
Would we get that many people wanting to give talks?
Well, I suppose what we can do is think about the structure now and say, right, what's the maximum we can do? So I think that's about as much as we could do, to have 1.5 hours, then have a coffee break, then have 1.5 hours, then have lunch, 1.5 hour coffee break, 1.5 hours. And so that would be 18 hours of talks overall, wouldn't it? But what do we say? Mm-hmm. So it's 12, 36 talks, mm-hmm. is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Maximum of 36. Okay, let's just put this down.
How many second and third year students are there?
Well, I could look, because I've got that. There's the list, isn't there, of postgraduates that I maintain in linguistics. There are probably about 30 on there.
Right, okay.
But a good number of them are first years, and I don't know. I mean, just to get an idea, are you planning on talking?
No.
No, are you planning, Robert?
No.
And I'm probably not. So there's a good chance that almost none of the first years are going to volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
So if we had, say, 20 linguistics, and even then, I mean, there are quite a few people who are abroad and who won't bother to turn up or can't make it or whatever. So, you know, it might be that we only get, say, 15 anyway, and then we could be left with 15 blocks for the rest of PPLS. So at least we know that we've got an absolute limit of about 36 talks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're also going to be having posters, aren't we? And I should imagine that most people rather do a poster than do a
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's what the coffee breaks will be for, and maybe lunch times. But coffee breaks are probably more like are going to be a better time, because people will hang around, whereas people are more likely to go off somewhere for lunch, aren't they?
Yeah, but wouldn't we want to actually just like dedicate an afternoon or a morning to being a poster session?
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I was about to say. Poster sessions, good idea, because just the people presenting the posters are there and can say something about it. Actually, there's always the problem again. Then the people who are presenting the posters don't get to look at others.
But I mean, people kind of like generally sort them out themselves. Sort that out themselves. I mean, it's the thing about posters, unless you kind of say, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If your name is in the first half the alphabet, you can move and everyone's can't.
So, how long should a poster session be? Like, how long will people want to mill around for looking at?
I'd make it a whole morning or a whole afternoon. I mean, just because, like, ones that I've been to as well, people tend to kind of come and go from them. I'd say either a whole morning or a whole afternoon,
okay.
At least, but that's just based on the ones that I've been to.
So that means we could have 30 talks plus 1 a.m. or p.m. of posters, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And we could probably get quite a few in there, at least six anyway. At least six posters, during the session. Like, how many can you have going on at once?
Well, that's just kind of dictated by the
wall space.
I mean, would we have poster boards, or is it just going to be posters on the walls?
Do we have any information?
I should have found this out. Are you guys second years or first years?
First years.
So none of us have been to this before?
No. I've been to Durham postgraduate conference,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, every conference I've ever been to, the posters have always been in the coffee break, which is why. Probably because normally they're limited on space.
Actually, we have a message here from Mitz about the poster session.
Yeah.
Poster session was introduced in 1999 as part of the main conference. In 2000, it was held separately in October. The intention was to use it as a way to introduce incoming postgrad students to the department's research culture. However, I did not pursue this idea the following year because the comments I received from students in 2000 were generally discouraging. On the other hand, I later learned that some students did find the October poster session quite a useful experience. My suggestion, therefore, is to re-examine the idea of poster session altogether and find a better way to implement it if there seems to be enough interest in it.
Well, I think keeping it alongside the conference is possibly one way of maintaining interest.
One possibility is to put it back in the main conference and let people choose between a paper presentation and a poster.
Yeah. I think that's definitely the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely the best idea. I can imagine it would seem a bit random just to have like a poster session and just have a poster session. What would it be at the beginning? So I suppose, is it normally second years do it, like just after they've come back for this?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean on the October thing?
That's what it would be, I think.
I thought it seemed to me that he was saying that everyone would do it because its goal was to give the new intake.
Yeah, but I don't think he means that it would be that first years who have only just arrived would do a post.
Oh,
and that would be a bit odd, wouldn't it?
Okay,
so at least anyone who's feeling...
Do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I might do. I still am a little bit doubtful, but... So that's good anyway. So we've got an idea. I think there's 30 talks and say, 6, 10 posters, whatever, we can manage to fit in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to look at... We need to look at where we're going to hold it. We could have it in... B9, but there's things all over the wall.
Mm-hmm.
There are those pictures that run all the way around. So, can we take the pictures down? Can we use B9 for the posters, for instance?
Well, we should find out if generally they use poster boards, if there are some poster boards that we can get hold of. Then that's
mm-hmm.
Okay, so poster boards. And what I'll do, I'll email Mitz about that, okay?
Okay. Right into the call. That we are considering the idea of having a poster session.
Mm-hmm.
So people can indicate would they prefer to give a poster or a talk.
Yeah, okay.
But the ultimate decision is on our side because we have to see how does it work out with the poster session.
Okay.
How does it work out with the talk?
Well, what we'll do is we can just say if you want to do a talk, then just say so, and if you want to do a poster,
mm-hmm.
then say you want to do a poster, and we can sort of base it around that.
Yeah.
And if we get absolutely tons of people wanting to do posters, and we don't think there's a, you know, everyone's kind of done it as a cop-out, then we might
mm-hmm.
have to sort of say to them, well, you know, would you consider doing a talk instead, because, particularly the second and third years, because we need more talks, and just, you know, do it like that.
Yeah.
We could even say something like, you know, first years might want to give a post or something like that, because, I don't know, maybe that's a bad idea.
Just throw a general suggestion at them, see what happens.
Okay. Okay, so we got some sort of idea of structure and how many talks we're going to be able to have.
Well, a maximum. I guess that will evolve when we get the response from.
Yeah.
People.
Okay. So, So English language we'll put on the main call, and I'll just kind of market it as a linguistics in English language or
mm-hmm.
something like that. I think.
And is the other main group then philosophy?
Yes, and informatics, we've got to think about as well. So I had a look at whether they do philosophy of language and logic and stuff here, and they kind of do. There's about three or four full-time members of staff that list philosophy of language as a major mm-hmm. interest. So chances are they're going to have some PhD students that are interested. So do we think we should invite them? I think I'd be surprised if we got sort of four out of them. I think that would be amazing if we did. So I think it's probably worth it. I don't think we're going to get inundated with requests. So I think it's worth asking them.
Asking philosophy.
Yeah.
I think informatics would...
I mean, I think informatics is definitely worth asking. There's CSDR and HCRC.
Mm. I mean, I'm thinking that the informatics potentially is quite a big response.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, might be interesting stuff coming in. It's something recently about, I think somebody's master's project to look in how far English is actually, or in how far English is a shaping influence on programming languages.
All right, cool.
Yeah, it is.
Would we want to ask them and put some kind of like proviso in to make it specific to sort of preemptively weed out the numbers, or should we just say?
Yeah, well, it would be nice to do that.
Language, you know,
it would be nice. It would be nice to do it. The thing is, we can't afford to bias it towards any particular kind of linguistics, in a sense,
mm-hmm.
because it's such a
because
of the way our department is, then we're supposed to sort of embrace all kinds. In fact, even by inviting people from informatics and from, or maybe from philosophy and things, it might bias it in a particular direction. But I don't know, it's probably not too bad. I think that between philosophy, informatics and psychology, you've probably got quite a lot of bread there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing is, the only kind of people doing anything like applied linguistics are the applied linguists themselves and people in sociology with an interest in language, and I don't think we'll be inviting them. But I don't think that's too bad, because the first thing is, there's a good reason for inviting everyone in PPLS, because we are in one school. And then the fact that we also invite people from informatics, I suppose it's just that we do have pretty strong ties with them. I don't think anyone would be too offended. I hope not, anyway. So what kind of proviso can we put on? I mean, we could just say outright, anyone in their third year or anyone in their second or third year. But I don't know.
Hmm.
Or we can just, you know, take whatever we get and pick the best between us, which is...
Yeah. Yes. Most straightforward. Yeah. So we just send them a general thing, saying
yeah.
linguistics departments have so a conference and we'd like to invite.
So, you're going to email Claire.
Yeah.
So who wants to send something out to informatics?
I'll do that, that's fine.
Yeah. All right.
And should I get in touch with philosophy as well?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, so what you want to say is, anyone who wants to give a talk on logic or philosophy of language, but put a warning that if it's logic, then there's a good chance that
no
one will understand. Or not that many. I mean, maybe if you just put... Yeah, just put philosophy of language. That's probably good.
Yeah. I mean,
or
like
just, or any...
Some of the things saying linguistics are part of philosophy is having postgraduate thing. So if you're a philosophy student with, your work has got an interest in language.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's all you
yeah.
do. Yeah, I think that's as much as we need to say. That's right. So you've got to work out how to do that and who to email.
Just sending them your call for papers and changing it slightly to say philosophy students.
Yeah, that's fine. That's what you want to do. as long as it's clear from the subject bar that it's relevant to them and that it says somewhere that for philosophy students with an interest in language, and that's it. And then between us, we'll have to have another meeting and I mean, at the same time as we're sorting through all the other titles and deciding how to divide up the sessions.
Mm-hmm.
See, someone suggested to me that it's actually better to have talks on a similar topic spread out as much as possible, which to me just seemed absolutely crazy. And the reason she gave me was something to do with taking out like a whole day or a whole afternoon would be quite difficult. But I think that balance against the fact that most people want to be able to say, well, look, I can have just this one day off, as opposed to, well, I need an hour over 3 days, you know, an hour each day for 3 days. You could end up having to take 3 afternoons or 3 mornings or whatever off. So I think in general, and also for the sake of the lecturers, I think a lot of the time Simon Kirby's already said to me that any of his students, he wants to be on the first day, on the Wednesday, right? And that's because I shifted it. I basically had it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to begin with. And then it moved down twice to Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So Wednesday's the only day left that he can make.
Oh, I see, right. He
so,
because he said he can make it. Okay.
Yeah, so, and the other thing is, when we get some calls, say we have, for instance, three people supervised by Bob Ladd, then it might be that then we are going to have to contact Bob and say, Bob, these three of your students are going to be talking. Presumably you want to be there, so can you give us a time that would be good for you? And then we can put them in a block at one time, because he says, yeah, okay, Thursday afternoon, I've got completely free. So I think we do need to stick everyone together, particularly if they've got the same supervisor. And it's also good if talks are on the same topic for a whole morning or a whole afternoon, because then people will come along and go, oh, this morning it's all on phonology, or this morning it's all on applied linguistics, and then, okay? As much as possible, anyway.
I mean, that's so far, it's just a general statement of interest, what we intend to do, what we actually get to do with it later.
Yeah. Now, we need, if I'm going to send out this call, we need a deadline for titles. So, what should we say? Something like, because we need a deadline for titles and a deadline for abstracts. So let's set the latest deadline, the sort of abstracts deadline first, because we need to have a meeting, and that's going to be when all the real work starts. So what's the absolute latest? I mean, maybe the end of
2 weeks ahead.
End of March might be okay. I'm going away for 2 weeks on the 4th of April, and then I'm coming back just in time for the conference. So any organising, at least stuff where I need to be, where we need to meet physically, has to be done before that.
Yeah, and I will be away probably until Easter, so this actually means we have the week directly after Easter between my coming back and you leaving.
I tell you one thing, it's starting on the Wednesday and the first day back is Tuesday. I think I'm coming back. I'm trying to get this right. Hopefully I'll be back in time that we'll be able to do something the day before, because I think I'm going to be back. Might even have to come in the evening, but that's not the end of the world. But we might have to set some things up, like maybe just get the chairs organized or whatever. We might actually have to go into the rooms and get things ready. And there's going to be other things, like getting the technology ready. So not only is there a pressure to have talks that are on a similar topic together, but also if people need the same kind of computer setup, it's good to have them together so we don't have to keep changing it. So, because I think it was Cedric has already offered to do whatever we need him to do, but he just needs to know in advance what people need so that he can be there and get it ready for them. So I think when people,
what things do you think people are actually going to need?
Well, hopefully most people will either have something like PowerPoint, or they'll just have PDF slides or something. Hopefully no one will have anything too specialised.
In my experience, what you usually should have is some kind of, what's it, overhead?
Yeah.
Thingo, Beamer. In some cases we might, if it's really tough, we might be in need of some sound system.
I mean, if you did, it hasn't really mine got all of that.
Yeah, it's got a lot in there, but I think it does take a little bit of, I mean, I think sometimes maybe people need to be in Linux rather than Windows, and so booting in and out is sometimes an issue, I think. But I think what we should say is, when I put out this call, I'll put both deadlines, and I think I'll say that when you send in your abstract, you need to mention any technology you intend to use, so that at least we have all the information. Yeah?
Yeah.
So, so deadlines. Okay, so let's think about this. If we gave them a whole month, or just over a month, then that would be okay, wouldn't it? Because we've still got, oh no, it wouldn't be okay at all. If we gave them the whole month, that would give us hardly any time. So if we gave them, say, till mid-March,
yeah,
that would be good. So give them something like 10 days or whatever to get the title in, and then give them a week on top of that to get the actual abstract done. And the abstract doesn't have to be much. It's probably only half a side of A4 or something, isn't it? Just enough that we can see whether it's interesting or what kind of area it fits into. That's all we really need.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, I would have liked to have given them a bit longer, but I think that'll be okay. Okay. So, unfortunately, I don't have a calendar. That's true. No, it's, I think it's okay when you're not writing on there. Oh no, it's 28 this month, isn't it? So if we have it like a Monday the 14th would probably be quite good for the final deadline.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I send it out tomorrow, we'll say something like the or maybe the 4th would be good. So give them a week for the title, and then they would have about 10 days from then to actually get the abstract in. Does that sound reasonable?
Why not just give them a week to the abstract? I mean, I'm just thinking about...
Just put it here, yeah? The 11th, a bit earlier. So I'm saying a week from when I send it out...
Just give them a bit longer to get back with the title. So they get back with the title by the 7th. Or do we need
that would be a week anyway. Yeah. That would be a week anyway. But you can give them 10 days to get the title, or give them, it depends which way around you want to do it. So what's going to take them longer, actually, to decide what they're going to do and send the title, or is it going to be on the basis of the title? Do they want more time to write the abstract?
I think if they're really serious, to be a bit late with the title might not be bad because it will help them to.
So give them the 7th, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So Monday the 7th is the title, and this presumably will apply across the board, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Monday the 14th for the abstract.
We've got an email address to send those to.
Well, we kind of have. We were given...
Gotcha access to...
The only thing is it's accessing the account. They can send it to PGC at Ling.
Yeah.
As long as we can get the...
Yeah.
I tell you what I'll do then. I'll go and see Mike today and get the password and everything, because we possibly have it, but I'll just sort that out with him. Because if we're going to tell everyone to email PGC, then we have to make pretty sure that we can actually access the account and then it's operational and stuff. Because so far I've just been using my own email address, but it would be better. It's quite easy to send from an email address, because you can send from any email address you like. It's just the fact that you need to, when they reply to it, you need to be able to access it. So I already tried it once, and I'm sure they gave us a password, and I even actually... Oh, well, that's it then. No problem. That's it. So does it... I mean, you may already know, but the thing is, if you want to send this call for abstracts, you know, when you do the philosophy and thingy one, then if you want to send from PGC, then, you might already know, but you can go, if you did it from webmail, you can just create a new account for yourself, and where it actually has a send from address, and you can just put PGC at link and just do it that way. Or depending on your normal email client, you might be able to do it. But it doesn't matter too much.
Yeah.
The other thing you could do is just fill in the reply to address as PGC,
yeah,
depending on what you want to do. But that's what I'll do. I'll send it from PGC, so if anyone replies, it will just go to that account, and any of us can access it at any time. Presumably, you can access this from webmail, or you know, or IMAP or whatever.
Should I take care of the web page?
Yeah, if you want to create a web page and just copy my email into it or something, and anything else you might want to do, and then later on we can put the program in. So, okay.
All right. Yeah. What time am I? Is it?
It's not quite. It's 2 or 3 minutes to. You got something for two, haven't you?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so very quickly then, can we arrange a new time to have a meeting? Do you think we need to, how long do you think until we need to meet again? Have we got enough to be getting on with? We probably have, haven't we?
Yeah, I mean, it's just.
Ideally, I suppose we'll meet again here so we can arrange with Melissa and we'll just send out an email, okay?
Yeah, no, that'd be cool. Okay, so. I will get in touch with Flossie, or I won't send him to Flossie Informatics till I've got your email.
Yeah, that's right.
A modified version of that. I'll try and get a good address to send it to. Right, so that was page 5. Okay, I think latest was called out.
Yep.
But then we have. Whole thing, yeah, that's weird. All the stuff like that. We know about chairs, tea, and stuff.